This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Anatula.
Hope you're having a fantastic Valentine's Day.
Hey, Figgy and I are having a great day now.
I mean, I'm not. I wouldn't be so sold on if I was you, because as soon as you get out of here, you are in the mud, brother.
Yeah, but I know I'm done.
He budgeted for that. He said, my day ends at 2.
I know it's over.
I know it's over. Yeah.
We lost this game.
I'm washed.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Yeah. It's over.
That's crazy.
I know I'm washed.
Just right out the gate, you know it's about to be 34-0, huh? Yeah. That's wild.
Just call it. I know it. It's called.
Just try to get to 22, man.
It's done.
Just get to 22.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Somebody, I'm trying to remember, the text line, 713-572-4610, the Jim Aller, the Texas Hammer text line, is popping for various reasons. One of those being, we were talking about the race, and I like what they're doing here. They say, need a three-day race, a 40, a 60, and a 100. Of course, the meter distances is what they're talking about there. Mm-hmm. Three track guys, three NFL guys, one person off the street, lowest total time. As the fastest in America. I don't know that we need to give him that title per se, but I would love to see just like something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with the like the average person, don't you just love, especially in like the Olympics, wouldn't you just love to have just one normal person to just as a control? Remember that all these people are insane athletes.
Yeah.
Here is what the normal person does against all this nonsense.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. No, absolutely.
Anyways, all right, let's get to these Texans. This offense needs to be fixed, and Nick Caley is the man who has been tapped with the responsibility of doing that. And John Lopez, in addition to being pseudo matchmaker and a person who seems like he wants to blow up his own relationship, he also seems to believe that he has the things that need to be fixed by Nick Caley. And so Lopez, what can we build the task list, the to-do list for Nick Caley here on what he needs to do to make this offense?
I think it's short. And I'm not film guy by any stretch. I know
why not.
I'm just not.
Okay.
I watch enough football and go back and watch enough football, even just from the TV.
I know you're watching the same film I watch.
That's right. That's right, Clint.
I'm really not, Clint. I'm watching games, but I go back and watch. And obviously, we all know enough people in this sport that we trust. And I really don't think we need to worry about C.J. Stroud and this relationship and elevating his game again or re-elevating his game. You know, go back in your mind's eye. Don't even go back to the film or the game broadcast. Go back and think about how many times C.J. Stroud got hit on a quick drop, got run out of the pocket, got run backwards because there was pressure up the middle. Longer developing plays, running for his life, scrambling, and he still had a hell of a season. I don't think we need to worry about C.J. Stroud. I think you could argue C.J. Stroud proved as much in a weird way in this season when the line was a mess and the play calling was a mess and there were screens and there were bad calls and there were was no running game for long stretches. I think you could argue that C.J. Stroud proved as much this past season with the numbers down as he did his rookie season. I really do. He was, and by the way, when you hear Nick Caley talking about C.J. Stroud, the reverence with which he spoke about C.J. Stroud was obvious. And Figgy, I know you have it. You know, like, C.J. Stroud is not the issue. I'm going to get to two things that I think if they fix these two things, you're good. But listen to Nick Caley talking about C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, I mean, he can spin it. He throws the ball. He's an accurate thrower of the football. He's a natural thrower of the football. He's instinctive. He's got the it factor, and he's a warrior in terms of his competitiveness. And I've admired him dating back to his college days. So I'm really, really excited to have an opportunity to work with him.
I mean, it's going to happen. CJ's going to find a way. They don't have a pre-existing relationship, so maybe there's going to be some, you know, learning curve there, training camp.
Yeah, but I think what will help that is CJ is eager.
Yeah, like absolutely.
CJ's
and Nick Caley's eager.
Like, I think the way that I view this, and I don't know if this is the best way to illustrate it, but it is the way I view it, and hopefully you can see it in the way that I see it in my mind's eye, where he's a lean forward guy as opposed to a lean back.
So you're with me. Don't worry about CJ.
Yeah, some people, when it comes to any endeavor, they kind of lean away from it. Like, yeah, I don't know. He's a lean in guy. He seems like I'm going to try first and foremost before, and if it fails, then, you know, we'll back ourselves out or whatever. But he's like, hey, I'm willing and I'm invested in this. And it seems like Nick Caley is also a lean in guy from everything that we heard yesterday on his approach to, like, you know, interpersonal relationships and the things of that nature.
Yes.
So it seems like they'll both be leaning in. I think that they could both, like, that's going to be a multiplier for them, is that they both will see their willingness to you know, try and do something special and include each other in this, and then that should bode well. And we know that he has the raw makeup. I'm with you.
Don't worry about him. I think these two things, and I'm curious on what you and Figgy and our listeners feel. If you just fix the tight end problem, and it was a huge problem, and you just fix blocking schemes and roles for the offensive line, I think that's it. I think if you can fix those two things, you're going to be in business.
I think that's fair. I think there was a lot of people that looked at the team last year, and even, you know, with some of the things that we had, concerns that we had play calling wise, whatever, as long as the offensive line could have held up, you could have made things shake even with that, with the amount of talent that you have, with a incredible running back, a top 10 at worst, in my opinion, wide receiver Nico Collins, and then a solid group of supporting guys. Like, hey, man, if you give C.J. Stroud an opportunity to do the incredible things that he has, if you give Joe Mixon an opportunity in a lane to get his rocks off, as I like to say, right, you will have an opportunity. Yeah, the offense will be definitely good enough. So, yeah, I think if you get those things together, and it seems like Nick Caley, for him, that's one of the big things, is like making sure that when you come to offensive line, that, you know, the foundational parts of this are right, like making sure that the details are together, and if those are there, that'll be a good thing. It's the tight end part that is interesting to me, because you put that just on equal footing with the offensive line, and the offensive line seems like it's far and away the bigger thing. Why do you put the tight end thing at such a high place?
Because it was so bad. Because you put these guys, you miscast tight ends, and I don't know how much complaining they were doing behind doors, but they were not complaining. I mean, you had Dalton Schultz on an island with Pro Bowl defensive ends. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, that was the biggest mistake that Bobby Slowick did, was trying to make this work. And if you listen to Texans All Access last night, like, first of all, Nick Caley's a tight end guy. His entire professional career has been around tight ends. If he can fix that, I mean, hell, on Texans All Access last night, he wasn't talking about 11 personnel or 12 personnel. He was talking about 13 personnel. He was talking about...
Yeah, Mark Vandermeer asked him, like, hey, you like that 13 personnel? I think it was Mark. It might have been John. You like that 13% of personnel? And he absolutely... In fact, this was that quick cut of that. This is cut six.
You like that 13 personnel, don't you?
Hey, I've been known to like some 13 personnel in my time, so yeah.
Exactly.
That's it. It was nothing too... But, hey, man,
let's put three out there.
And when I heard that, I did think to myself, I mean, it was like a clearly quick quip, and you know, they were just laughing. It was Johnny, so I apologize to John. But I also think, hey, do you have three tight ends that you feel comfortable putting out there at the same time? Particularly if you're doing 13, you're probably, you know, lining them all up tight.
Yeah.
Like, do you love that idea of, hey, we're going to have Dalton, I'm guessing Dalton, Brevin, and Cade are probably the ones that you see, or maybe it would be Dalton, Cade, and Teagan Quatoriano if you still have them. I don't know that I absolutely love that, but of course it would be in service of the way that you use them, and I'd be interested to see how he does that. Like, I think there's been, to be fair, right, we're trying to get ahead of things. Mm-hmm. He's left this pretty open to where there's still a world of possibility of what this still actually looks like.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I love 13 personnel that much, but I don't think he likes it in big doses.
I'm scarred by all these tight formations that were run and the ways in which that completely added stress to the offensive line and the issues that they had.
But 12, two tights, you know, and have them in help positions, not necessarily just on islands. Just fix tight end. Fix the tight end issue, whether it's blocking, personnel, you know, whatever it may be, and the blocking schemes up front. We've gotten more and more hints, and I think Clint was talking about this yesterday when I was driving home. I heard it, you know, the blocking scheme just didn't work for these guys. It just didn't work. You were asking guys to do things that they just could not do. They weren't, you know, quick enough, nimble enough, whatever, to square peg round hole.
Correct.
That's one of the first things that Nick Caley said. I'm not going to do that. Fix those two things, and I think we're in good shape. Well,
does this at all feel like square peg round hole, or does this feel like something that's doable? This is Nick Caley talking about how you get a great running attack as it pertains to the tight ends.
I've told the guys for a long time, you know, that, and it's selfish probably when you're coaching the position, but that's the straw that stirs the drink. Show me a really physical run game, and I'll show you really physical tight ends. And you know, I think it starts an extension of the offensive line to control the line of scrimmage. When you can affect the game in the passing game, and you can get mismatches on safeties, backers, etc., you can extend guys, you can get open and catch the ball with size and stature as well. Very important. That position is very important to me, and again, I'm, you know, maybe a little bit biased, but I believe that with everything in my being.
I think it's scheme related, but it's more tight end centric. I think what I'm talking about is like get these offensive linemen to block properly,
and that's necessary. Mm-hmm. But that's the man telling you that, hey man, in order to do the run things that he wants to do, you're going to need physical tight ends. And I think that you might be able to say two out of the four that you're talking about there feel a little square peggy, right? In that way, like, I don't know that people are in on Dalton Schultz as physical guy at the line blocking, and I'm not sure if that you can qualify Brevin Jordan as that, as more of the athletic guy and wide receiver, more catching tight end.
But Quatoriano, big dude.
Yeah, but
Cade Stover, big dude.
But yeah, I think if you put those guys up, the dudes that you look as big physical guys, they're not at the top of the depth chart tight end wise. So like that is the one thing, and you were asking earlier in the show, is there anything that gives you pause? I will say that's one of the things that gives me pause.
It should.
Like as a tight end dude who looks at this and he goes, hey man, tight ends need to be this. That might be one of those things that feels like to me, like, oh, this if that's going to be a linchpin and you're saying, hey, the tight end needs to be involved in these things. We saw what it kind of looked like, and not to say that's the end all be all, but we saw what it kind of looked like when you tried it. Hey, Dalton Schultz, we need you to be the physical dude on the edge of that line in that way. It didn't work out the way you wanted.
And maybe it does. I mentioned it. Maybe it's personnel. You know, maybe there's some personnel changes up front, because one thing about him, you know, he may not have a lot of experience and a lot of, pelts on the wall when it comes to, you know, building quarterbacks and coaching quarterbacks. Well, you've got a lot with tight ends. I mean, he's got a hell of a lot with tight ends. So, you know, just fix that, get these guys, or change the, personnel up front. And I think you don't have to worry about C.J. Stroud. You don't have to worry about Nico Collins. They can fit with any, you know, any coaching, any scheme that you have. Maybe some better than others, but they can fit. And then you might need some help. You don't have to worry about Joe Mixon. you might need some help.
It does feel wide to be able to say that. I think this is the thing, right? I think you're right. Like, hey, man, as long as you do the bare minimum, Joe Mixon will make his thing shake. But I'm with this person here on the text line, on the Jim Allo, the Texas Hammer text line. From the 832, I just want to see this offense stop making everything look so damn difficult.
Yeah,
and I think that's going to be the thing, and that's something that we don't necessarily have a great answer to yet. We'll have to see him roll this out. But can Nick Caley do things that help make these guys' jobs easier, because it felt like you did not see nearly enough of that last year with the offense that Bobby Slowick helmed. It felt like there was enough things out there where it was like, well, you just need to make this work better. It's like, no. This needs to go the other way, where the scheme helps the players be the best version of themselves.
Yeah.
Can he actually do that? And I think that's going to be one of the big things, even as it pertains to these areas that you're pointing to that I think you're right are the big ticket areas that are going to make the change, offensive line and tight end.
Yeah, and it also made me think a little bit about the draft, which we talked about yesterday. We'll certainly revisit with mock drafts and talk about what the Texans are doing and looking at and what we think about it. But it did get me thinking about the draft. You know, I'm sitting here going yesterday, boy, defensive tackle so deep. You know, maybe you can get just a kick butt defensive tackle. I'm wondering if maybe they're just like looking at the other side, you know, or maybe a big, you know, a tight end is a deep position, you know, or an interior offensive lineman that just fit what he's trying to do, you know.
Well, what he's trying to do is seemingly anything, as long as the guys there are capable of handling the fundamentals and the details.
There we go.
We are off to the races with this Texans offense and with this Texans team headed towards player acquisition season, whether it's free agency coming up in like a month, the draft coming up in a couple, and then we get downhill towards the season once more, you know. NFL doesn't stop, 365 proposition. So it's good to have the offensive coordinator in tow, and really excited to see if he can come through in these two specific areas that Lopez says he needs to do in order to get this offense humming again. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on this Friday. Coming up next, time for our lunchtime confessions.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions on Sports Radio 610.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
So, Figgy, outside of putting Reggie on the In the Loop dating game here, probably in the next week or two, I learned something else about him this morning, just in a casual conversation.
Oh, Lord. Mm. See, this is what happens when you talk to people. They learn things about you. That's not what I wanted to do at all.
He was talking to, some of the visitors that we had, Kaylee and...
Lacey and Chris?
Lacey and Chris. Sorry, Kaylee. Lacey.
You see, you got Nick Kaylee on the yeah, brain. That's what happened.
And they were asking about his background. He said, well, I graduated high school a year early. And I went...
Oh, yeah. I've never told you that.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You're that guy?
Well, all right. So we're going to go into the whole thing, the whole spiel.
Start using some big words. Come on now.
I'm not necessarily against it, but it just seems weird that you would graduate. It always seemed a little weird.
It was pragmatic. I had decided.
You don't have no senior year.
First of all, you're
year.
Throwing too many
no?
big words.
Maybe I needed one.
Okay, yeah, now, right. Because I don't understand him, I'm going to take him as disrespect.
My bad.
You don't have a senior year.
I had a senior semester, kind of. So in seventh grade, I decided I wanted to be an architect. And as I neared, you do your PSAT, you do your SAT, all those things. I applied to the top 10 architecture schools in the nation, and I got into a few of them. Not all of them, don't get me wrong. And so Kansas State University had the best national program that I could get into, which is the number five in the nation.
Look at
and
that.
They had a five-year master's program. Ooh. And I was like, well, if it's 5 years for a master's, if I graduate a year early.
It's like regular.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, yo, now don't ask me what happened, because clearly I'm not an architect and nothing like that. But I decided, all right. Well, we could make this happen.
How do you feel?
I put it in.
That's kind of swag a little bit to me.
It is swag. That's what I'm saying. I'm kind of conflicted about it.
Is it?
Because it's, first of all, you can do it and you can get into college after your junior year in high school. But
yeah, I turned 18 my second semester of college, which was kind of weird.
That's crazy.
But like your high school senior year, that's when you dominate, That's
I got a little some done. Just a little.
It just seems, it's just different to me.
My man was in them books.
He wasn't thinking about nobody else.
That's right.
He was in those books.
I was in them books. It's a shame, though, that I was in those books that much and I'm not any smarter than I am.
My brother graduated a year early and I just always called him a nerd.
I mean, it is kind of accurate, to be fair.
I will say, I wish I went to school with Reggie. I would sit by you and cheat on your test every chance.
I don't know that would go as well as you think it does.
I probably would have graduated high school.
I did all right, but don't think that I was, like, I was not 4.0 a cat. I was not that dude. In fact, the reason why I did not go to university in the state of Texas is I was not top 10%. At that time, they had the automatic admission as top 10%. Yeah, I didn't get that done. So, no, don't think that means that I'm some level. Look, we got somebody on the air that went to Seth went to Cornell, right?
Cornell.
I applied to Cornell. They did not respond back to me. So I just want you to understand.
Like, I got into Princeton.
It's nothing that special. Oh, good for you.
Just didn't go.
All right, now we're just bragging.
Reggie is young Sheldon.
That's definitely not.
Oh, man.
Absolutely not.
Hey, from Texas, too.
Yeah.
So listening to Texans radio yesterday with Nick Kaylee, sitting in with the boys, John Harris, Mark Vandermeer, and I mean, obviously they asked all the football stuff and it was very insightful. Still, you can go back and listen to it on YouTube or what have you if you missed it. But you know, they try and have a little personality and have a little fun with the people that they're talking to. And one of the things was asking Nick Caley, new offensive coordinator of the Texans, you know, how excited he or what experience he had with the city of Houston and that. And this is what Nick Caley had to say.
Did you give any thought to doing anything else with your life as you were growing up?
Zero.
It was coaching all the way.
I wanted to coach.
Oh, no, this ain't
right. You haven't been here long, but I know you've been kind of locked in and doing what you have to do, but just your thoughts on the city of Houston and being here. Have you ever had much experience in Texas at all other than traveling for games and such?
No.
What are your thoughts?
You know, just basically being here for games, practices, et cetera. It's a great city. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of things to do, you know, and there's a lot of places to go. So, I mean, it's a great city and, you know, excited to find my way around.
Yeah, I got to admit, he don't sound excited. Yeah. He don't sound actually excited about the city of Houston at all. He don't sound excited.
That is politics right there.
If politics would have had him actually carry the same energy all the way through the answer.
Yeah.
He lost so much steam. Like, you heard him talking about CJ Stroud. He just throws this great spiral.
Yeah,
and instead of Houston is it's a great city. And
it's a great question, and thank you for asking it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Just imagine saying that about the third or fourth largest city in the world or in the country.
Don't tell me Nick Caserio didn't have anything to do with this hire. That is Nick Caserio.
Now, I don't think that. Now, this is the thing.
I mean,
right?
That sounds like a John Carroll guy to me.
Yeah, you
that's
think?
Right.
Yeah, you think?
They invented football.
Yeah,
they that's don't
right.
Know anything else?
Just ask them.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I think that once he actually gets into these Houston streets, he'll love it.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. He does not know.
He doesn't
to
know
be excited.
Damn.
He doesn't know it at all.
He sounds like a robot.
He doesn't know.
You
a
heard
thing.
That first question about coaching. Nothing. I just want to coach.
play one more time for me because I want to hear the difference in energy. Him talking about coaching versus him talking about the city of Houston.
Did you give any thought to doing anything else with your life as you were growing up?
Zero.
It was coaching all the way.
I wanted to coach.
You haven't been here long, but I know you've been kind of locked in and doing what you have to do, but just your thoughts on the city of Houston and being here. Have you ever had much experience in Texas at all other than traveling for games and such?
No.
What are your thoughts?
You know, just basically being here for games, practices, et cetera. It's a great city. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of things to do, you know, and there's a lot of places to go. So, I mean, it's, you know.
A lot of places.
Can you name one?
You could have said you could have said that about Cleveland, Ohio.
It's a city that has things
that about
and stuff.
It's a lot of energy, things to do.
Yeah.
It's a great city.
It's a great city.
He sound like a robot. Dude.
Which
like a football robot.
I guess if with the task in front of him, I guess that's probably preferable. Yeah, work on stuff. But also, hey man, get out here and see a few things. Hit the Breakfast Club or something, you know?
But
yeah.
You know what? At the end of the day, it don't even matter.
No,
not at all.
Like
no,
you
no.
got yeah, nah, yeah. Ball out, and I think everybody gonna love you.
Yeah, but I was like, no, I realized, you actually don't sound very excited about this at all. The city itself. He sounds excited.
He doesn't
about
know.
Football, he doesn't know. He just doesn't know.
All he's seen is the ballroom during walkthroughs.
That's right. That's right. NRG in the ballroom.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. These are my
confessions. I kind of feel bad for something I did last night, man. So I went to the Travis Scott. The HBCU softball charity game.
Third annual, right?
Yeah, third annual. It's not the first annual. It was the third annual, right, Lopez?
Yeah, it was the third annual.
Yeah, it wasn't the first annual.
It was not. There's no such thing.
I ain't gonna rile you
there's
up.
There's no such thing.
So I felt kind of bad. So I'm out there getting content, seeing everybody.
Doing your thing.
Seeing CJ Stroud, seeing Andre Johnson and all that. I also seen Amber Rose. She was there again.
Oh, come on.
She was there again, so I'm like, oh, that's cool.
She got a ride home?
I don't know.
That's a crazy question.
Hey, she got the ride home last year.
Yeah, she did.
But I took a video of her, a little picture and all that stuff, and I posted it yesterday on Twitter, which I probably shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this I'm getting ratioed.
They said, nah, I figured you knew what you were doing.
I did not know what I was doing.
I'm calling BS.
Nah, I posted it because.
What did you write on the tweet? Tell me what you wrote on the tweet.
So I
two words.
So I posted a picture. I said, she's back.
But you put an exclamation point or extra A's?
No, just she's back, exclamation point.
Yeah, that's all. I was
you
saying
knew
she,
exactly what you were
no,
doing.
No, I was saying she. And the funny thing is, I only tweeted that because last year. Remember last
yes,
year she was there and. And she allegedly left with C.J. Stroud. And
no, she did leave with him.
She said
the alleges. What else?
All right. Okay.
Yeah. She left. Yeah. She left with C.J. Stroud, mm-hmm. and she said he gave her a ride to the hotel.
Yeah.
It was nothing else. Nothing to see here.
What was his Uber rating?
It had to be good because it was in a fly car, right?
Yeah.
So it was a good car. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I posted this picture. This is my confession. I felt bad. I almost deleted this tweet because people started going crazy on her, saying she aged like milk.
And damn.
They were saying all type of wild stuff. And I wasn't trying to post that picture that kind of go in on her.
Mm-hmm.
But people going in on it, it's still going right now, man. It's getting
ratio.
How
do you feel about this, Reggie? Because I don't think he went posted it to go in on her.
No.
But he kind of knew what the reaction would be. You had to have.
I don't know. Like, I feel like you were there to kind of gather the sights and the scenes, and you did that. I don't think you did anything particularly tough. And here's the thing, right, about social media. You're not going to be able to contain the reaction of people.
Yeah.
Obviously, you want to try and make sure that it's as meanable as possible.
Yeah.
You do not put people in places to be. But I feel like those people are going to say that regardless.
I'm looking at this right now. Somebody said, damn, auntie.
Somebody see, said, that's inherently.
That's what I'm like. I wasn't trying to do that, man. She is looking a little older. Mm-hmm.
She's 41, man.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Some
I wasn't posting her on there to be like, damn, look how old she is.
No, but you knew that would be a reaction.
I thought it was going to be more of a keep her away from CJ reaction.
Okay.
I got like two of those reactions. Everybody else keep calling her spoiled milk and expired milk. So I'm like, damn, I wasn't trying to go there.
Expired milk.
Yeah, I kind of felt bad a little bit. I never delete tweets. I almost deleted that one.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to put the wrong message out there. But everybody having a good time with that one.
From the 713, I'd go in on her. All right, guys.
All right, guys.
Okay.
These are my confessions.
So I just couldn't help myself. That's part of the confession. The other is I actually believe this imagery. So Brian McTaggart, speaking of Twitter, and what you posted, I posted this. He posted a video of Lance McCullers. And in his tweet, he says he discussed his rehab, his faith, his timeline, and a light at the end of the tunnel. Tell me what you see behind Lance McCullers.
So I will do my best to paint the picture of what this image is. So it's Lance McCullers obviously talking in these sweet,
light at
sweet
the end of the
light orange,
they are nice.
You know, the spring training caps. Behind him is a white tent. I don't know what is behind it. And then you see some palm trees. Of course, they're in West Palm Beach. And behind that, the most ominous looking clouds I have seen
in quite
some time.
He's talking about the light at the end of the tunnel. And there's this giant storm cloud closing. It's moving in. You can tell it's moving towards them. I'm like, if that's not the perfect, you know, imagery for Lance McCullers. Yeah, I think I'm close.
it kind of remind me of that picture of the wrestler just standing there happy and the Undertaker just behind him.
Yeah, right behind him, just unaware that he's about to be. What is the name of his choke slam again? Because I know it's a choke slam, but it's a special name I never remember.
I think there's light at the end of the tunnel, and the apocalypse is behind him. I mean, it's like holy moly, that's perfect.
Pray for Lance. It'd be nice to get him doing things. I was gonna say get him pitching well, but
throw
just
off
pitching.
The mound. You want to throw off the mound? Throw off
soon,
flat.
Soon.
Play catch.
Yeah, soon.
Come on, play a catch. Mm-hmm.
Give us some
flat ground.
Can I sneak one more in?
Yeah, man.
Thank you for that answer, Figgy. All right, Jim Nantz. I mean, local legend and broadcaster. This is what he had to say about the Philadelphia Eagles tush push.
I'm done with the tush push. I think it needs to go away. And I know that's a big part of the arsenal for the Eagles. I think it needs to change. Now, they executed better than anyone. So Philadelphia fans, will there be an outcry? Say, why are you penalizing us? I don't like the play.
Why?
I just don't like the play. It feels too automatic. Maybe you could do something to phase it out a little bit and not totally penalize. Maybe it's like coaches' challenges. Maybe you get two a game.
Interesting.
Again,
creative.
Yeah. Don't take it completely away, but you have that in your hip pocket. If you're going to use it, you can use it twice in a game.
Jim Nantz is being a supreme hater.
Yes,
he's being
is.
A supreme hater.
Yeah, he is.
What you mean the tush push
to a
doesn't
game.
Look, it's not football because I don't like it. No. It is quintessentially football.
It's the essence.
Hey, I am going that way. Stop me. That is football, if I've ever heard it, right?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Now, here's the thing. The one thing that you could do if you don't like the tush push is we don't like the idea of players pushing other players forward. And remember, in the NFL, that was a rule for a while. We're like,
you cannot
push the ball handler forward.
Yeah.
They took that away and all that. That's all this is. Like, we back to it. Otherwise, it's just the quarterback sneak. And really, the reason why you mad is not that, like, is not that it's not football. It's you mad you can't stop it.
That is exactly that's all you right. are.
And look, and it's not because you're not mad at the play. Other teams have tried it. The reason why they don't keep doing it is because they're not
they
can't, good.
They're not successful.
How many times
how did it work out for Josh Allen?
Yeah, how many times did Josh Allen get stopped on that? Multiple times. It's the reason why they lost. Mm-hmm. And then you get out here, oh, well, y'all just being haters.
Yeah.
Man.
Like I totally agree.
And I get it. Like, I'm not here to, like, big up the Eagles or nothing. But, hey, man, quit. Just don't be haters about it.
There was a coach that said something about it, too, similar to what Nance said. I'm like, stop it. Stop it.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
Y'all just being some haters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, that's stop all it is. Like, you trying to outlaw it because you can't. Because hey, that's nasty business,
no,
man.
I
that's,
agree.
That's not the spirit of sports. You know what? All these people that come through about the participation trust. No, what you should be stopping is this. Like, this mm-hmm. type of mentality that I can't stop it, so we're going to change the rules. That's the real thing that's ruining
sports. Out of all the things you want to change, make a rule for that.
Right. Jim, you're what's wrong with sports. How do you like that?
I'll tell you what's wrong with sports. You.
You. That's right. Appreciate your work. You do a great job. All right. Those are our lunchtime confessions right here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Hey, take it easy on Ron's best friend, Jim. Hilarious.
Yep.
Yes, I've heard that audio. And I still don't understand what was happening there. All right. But yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, would you prefer another TV situation for the Astros and Rockets? Because it looks like things continue to shift away from the regional sports network in various places in sports. Would you prefer if something like that happened here for the Astros and Rockets, or do you like the way that it is? We'll talk about that next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetua.
Hey, yeah, you're in the loop here on a Friday on Sports Radio 610. Hope you're having a good one all day long. Sorry, I thought about various things. I realized I had not circled back around at any point thus recently to the thing that we started the show with. If you had to have one meal for the entirety of a year, just one singular meal is the only meal you could have, or that particular meal you could every time you ate, what would you have? Fantastic Voyage. I love it so much. But what is the meal? And we got a lot of interesting answers. I think you settled on something as you were trying to flirt the rules or skirt the rules. Mm-hmm. You finally settled on something that was within the rules, which I think you just want a chicken breast?
Chicken.
Like some grilled chicken?
Give me a grilled chicken. Even though it's not very exotic, I just feel like it would be good every day. You'd have to live with it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's...
Like, tacos are awesome. You get a month straight of eating nothing but the same taco. Mm-mm.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I was starting to think maybe like a steak. Like, you just like a basic steak.
You
steak.
800 pounds, but yes.
Like steak and like asparagus or something like that. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Just something light but easy.
Oh, you get a plate? Or just a
meal? Yeah, no, a meal. You can get a meal.
Oh, yeah. Then definitely I would go with steak. Yeah, I'd go with like steak or brisket with like some beans and potato salad and something like that.
You could
like
do that for a year?
Yeah,
every day
yeah.
for a year?
Oh, yeah.
Someone else had gone with... I think they'd gone with like chicken fried steak I saw, which I get it. Like that, but that to me, and of course that's the benefit of growing up in this area, that just feels like school to me, just having chicken fried steak for lunch and everything. But yeah, I guess keep sending those in if you so desire. I got one more in the tuck for me. I feel like today's been a question heavy day, just like things I've been throwing out there. I'll circle back around to that. But let's go here. If you also have noticed, I've been TV heavy, like sports TV heavy. This is a place that fascinates me, the market, because that's what funds this now.
It affects the listeners. It affects the sports fans.
Right. That's what funds this now.
Yeah.
Right. Like, what funds this is not, you know, jerseys. Shout out to the Houston Dynamo mm-hmm. getting us ready for the season, which starts on the 22nd. It's not ticket sales that funds this. Right. All that money obviously goes into the coffers and is desired and is good. But what funds this is TV. And so the ways in which the TV works matters in the sustainability of any of this and all of this. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing more and more in, obviously not football, because football has their national deals. That's all the whole league. But in basketball, in baseball, to a lesser degree in NHL. And to be fair, I just don't keep it as close of an eye on what they're doing there. So mm-hmm. apologies if you're so inclined in that way. But we're seeing a shifting of the landscape away from what had traditionally been the way that it goes, which is a regional sports network, right? Especially on cable, right? Just a regional sports network that carries all of it. What Root Sports Southwest or then was here before you had the Astros and the Rockets band together to, you know, buy them out and then create Space City Home Network, which is great for right now. But would you like it to look different? Because there's some pros and there's cons of this. And I saw, I was, you know, looking at Reddit recently, and they were talking about, somebody was talking that on there, the Guardians, and how they have announced their new in-market streaming package. They don't have a regional sports network in the way that they're going. Shout out to Diamond Sports, who really messed up the baseball game there. But they're going to debut a yearly streaming in-market package for $100. And so that's with MLB running the broadcast deal, right? But compared to the Astros, where they're, you know, they're streaming, or they're not even streaming, they're on Root Sports, or not Root Sports, I keep wanting to go back, but Space City. And then that's on particular carriers, DirecTV, Comcast, AT&T, U-verse, all the way through 32. Mm-hmm. But like, streaming is a little bit cumbersome. It's not the easiest thing to do to get these things streaming if you want them or what have you. And they're not bringing in like the same kind of fees that you previously would have in certain areas. Like, and of course the money of it for the Astros and the Rockets, I imagine the listener doesn't care, but like, do you like the way that this is currently situated, or would you like to see, which I mean, in the future they might, but would you like to see them kind of be in more of the streaming space like some of these other teams are moving towards?
I would much rather them be on the various packages, you know, choose your favorite, you know, whatever the platform may be, Hulu, Netflix, you know, YouTube, all of them. I think we're close. I don't know how you feel about this. I think we're within 5 years of every major team, major sports team outside of NFL teams, because they get so much money on television revenue and packages. I think we're within 5 years of every NBA team, every MLB team streaming all their games, and they get, you know, they get that particular money, and then on top of that, there's the national games. I think it's going to be nothing but streaming going to them in particular.
So like, we're going direct to consumer,
from the team. They clearly want it. They, you know,
I think that they prefer having
They like the national games, but I think they want control of all media. And that would be streaming the game, shows.
I think that's where they have gotten to. I think they previously would like to have that middleman giving them TV rights, and then the middleman can worry about selling it. Because as of right now, these teams have to worry about selling their advertising and making sure that the revenue, whereas, again, not knowing exactly what the revenue is compared to when you are selling this out, like, hey, we're selling these media rights locally to this network. And the network says, contractually, we will pay you X millions of dollars for this time period, and now you can build your salaries and your payrolls off of, we know this is coming in, as opposed to, hey, we run this streaming, or we run our own, you know, TV, and this is how much we're forecasting, and this is the budget that we have, but maybe we hit that, or maybe our subscribers don't hit and we don't have that, and does that change the way that we go with payroll?
I understand what you're saying, but I think there's going to be a lot of smart people that know you know, how that revenue is going to be brought in. They're still going to have some national packages. You know, hey, the Astros are playing on whatever. But I think whether it's the Astros,
Apple TV Plus,
or the Mariners, or whomever, I think they want to, because they're already trying to control every aspect of their messaging.
Sure.
You know, with their in-house broadcasting and their in-house radio and their in-house this or that and their Homer announcers. And we're just being honest here. I mean, you know, it used to be where games were broadcast objectively. You know, now they don't want that.
Right.
They don't want it. So the best way to handle that is we're going to control all radio, TV. Well, I shouldn't say radio. All streaming and TV.
Right. No, because
we're going streaming. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, everyone wants to go streaming audio. And they're going to be able to control every bit of it. And they're going to know exactly that. First of all, they have a very popular product, and everybody's going to subscribe. And it's going to be cheaper for the consumer than $100 a month to whomever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because that's part of it.
$49 or $39.
That's part of it, man. Yeah. Like, we as consumers, you're paying for so many services. Yeah. And I know there's some people that pay for, like a DirecTV or whatever, when they're in, like this texter who says, I'd rather they stream. I don't watch much anything else. So they don't like to have to pay for cable or whatever, like the streaming iteration of cables are right now. Mm-hmm. And let me just pay for the thing that I want, which is I want to watch my Astros and Rockets, and I don't care about having E Network.
Right.
I don't care about having USA. Yeah. And like, but you know, someone went as far as saying they would pay $200 a year for the ability to stream online. Like, it seems like those things are there and appealing in some ways, but also I know that you could end up in a place where, and I'm not saying specifically because Jim Crane just happens to be the one directly in front of me as the Astros owner, where Jim Crane in the future is like, hey, we didn't hit our TV numbers last year, and so we're cutting back payroll, right? Like, you could find yourself in that situation as well.
You could, but realistically, they know, they see the numbers right now, and they probably would get bigger. You know, if how many people have you talked to that say, you know, I can't really watch all the Astros games. I don't want to pay an extra blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
What, would you pay $19.99? Would you pay $39.99? Hell yeah.
Yeah, but you think that was it would start there? You think it would stay there?
No.
When they
but what
that
I'm
they
saying
could
is they control.
More?
They know they would have the messaging. They know they would have control. They know they would have more viewers. I'm kind of glad you brought this up because.
You're welcome.
I'm so locked in on watching sports as we watch it now is going to change within 5 years. I think it's going to be Astros Network, Rockets Network, whomever, you know, Cavaliers, and everything, every bit of programming you get is going to be in your phone, on your TV from that one entity.
Yeah, the interesting part about that, though, and this comes in on the text line. It said regional boundaries need to disappear. So if you want to subscribe to whatever team, no matter where you live, sell it directly.
You can do it like I'm talking about.
I think that that would make sense. But this is when you get into the places where, yeah, but that makes actually less things to sell. Because, like, again, I'm going to continue to look at this. Well, I guess I could look at this from the baseball side of it so that I don't keep going to basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you sell direct rights to the Astros, then what benefit do you have for, like, the MLB at bat? Now it's like, or there it becomes.
Well, those are still on the other platforms.
Yeah, but it becomes more niche, right? It becomes more because on MLB at bat, it's like, all right, well, this is all the teams out of market. But then also, how about like, so if you're out of market and that's your favorite team over there, that is a reason for you to buy this particular package of the MLB at bat, and that becomes more narrow if it's like only the people who are like, I want to watch some other team that is not my favorite team, but like that package becomes a lot more narrow. Maybe that's beneficial, and ultimately the numbers would balance out. But I think that MLB does like that scarcity, that artificial scarcity that they put in place, because that pushes people to spend more money with them in some places.
I think
my point ultimately being, the hoops will still be there, but what kind of hoops would you like? And maybe because some hoops are more preferable to others.
Sure. And if I were, let's say I were an Oakland A's fan living in Houston, I would be able to watch everything I want, all I want, all the shows, all their product. All their talk shows, all their coaching shows, all their everything for $39.99, sign me up. But when the A's are on whatever network or whatever platform, it's still going to be there for the masses. I really do. And by the way, not only are you going to have subscribers, you could still have commercials.
For sure.
You can still have...
Oh, they're going to do that.
Yeah.
They was going to do that anyways because that's how they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think it'd be extremely profitable. And let's be clear. I don't necessarily like it. I'm just saying that's where it's going.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I bounce back and forth because there's clearly people is on the text line. I imagine other people that are just listening and maybe not texting in that very much would like the mobility to be able to watch the thing outside of the house when they're on the go or what have you, right? But at the same time, I think that there is a stability to having the Space City Home Network and knowing that, hey, this is there within the package that you have or what have you compared to the other hoops that happen when you have streaming or just like sometimes the lack of dependability that sometimes that comes with streaming or what have you. But it's something I've been thinking about a lot lately because we're seeing that change greatly around sports, particularly baseball and basketball. And thankfully for Houston fans, right now you're locked in, I think, till 32, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have that stability.
Everything's negotiable.
Maybe so. But I think that especially because the Astros and Rockets own the network, I think that they're not going to be hasty to try and shift the situation that they're in right now. But you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Let's turn our attention one more time to West Palm Beach, where the Astros are starting spring training. A little bit of talk coming out of West Palm Beach. Espada talking, Dana Brown talking. Let's hear from the manager of your Astros, Joe Espada. We'll do that next.